watch out, look what's coming.
Carnivores in those ecosystems are probably going to vanish.
At the moment, we have absolutely no way of controlling the cane toad.
And now those alien creatures, some weighing kilos, have marched all over the tropics and are headed well into the Kimberley. But as Natasha Mitchell reports from the Animal Health Laboratory in Geelong, Victoria, run by CSIRO, the new very powerful gene engineering technique CRISPR may now have an answer. She's with Mark Tizard.
Up until now, the techniques that we've had have only allowed us to place things somewhere in the genome, almost at random. This allows us to go in very precisely and change and edit just a single gene in an animal.
How does it work?
So essentially, it's a lock and key type of mechanism that involves a protein that's able to cut DNA, but it requires a key, and that key is provided by a small piece of RNA that locks in and identifies the specific sequence in the DNA that you want to cut. So what we do now is identify a gene that we would like to change. We design the key to fit the lock and go in and target a gene, cut that gene, and then we can either replace it with a new variant of that gene, something where if a gene is bad, you can remove the bad gene and place a good gene in its place, or you can remove a gene completely. Alternatively, you can use this technique to place a new gene, an entirely new gene, at a very precise spot within the DNA of an animal. For example, we can transplant genes between different members of the same species. That kind of precision has just not been available to us until recent times and the advent of CRISPR-Cas9.
So you're interested in using gene editing to improve the welfare of animals. You're also interested in using gene editing to improve the livelihood of native species of all varieties. So where are you taking this gene editing interest now?
There's a classic example in Australia, and that was to introduce the cane toad to control the cane beetle. I've got to be careful because there were scientists at the time who thought that this was going to be a good idea, but they probably didn't consult deeply enough, and I'm sure that they didn't engage with the public in the same way that we do these days. So introduced originally in the 1930s in cane fields around northern Queensland, the cane toad has now spread across the whole of Queensland, down into the top of New South Wales, right the way across through Northern Territories and the gorgeous Kakadu, and is now into the Kimberley. There's a possibility that it's going to make its way down through the Pilbara, and then it could move even further down in Western Australia, and we would dearly love to stop that. There's a line, almost like a dotted line, that runs across that northern tropical part of Australia, which shows where the cane toad has got to. There's another line that shows what the potential habitats that it could get into and survive in, and it's probably about two-thirds of the way through the habitable territories of Australia that it could get into. We are really interested in how we can apply this technology to try and stop that and halt the progress and to remediate some of the problems that the cane toad causes. The biggest problem that it causes is the toxin that it stores in glands on its neck, and when predators come and try and eat it, they end up getting a mouthful of something that's a cardiotoxin, gives them a massive heart attack and kills them. And that's all kinds of predators. So the northern quoll is probably the cutest and highest profile of those predators that's been impacted by the cane toad, but also freshwater crocodiles, goannas, monitors, large lizards, constrictor snakes, a whole range of species that have declined dramatically in numbers as cane toads have entered their territories. Because what happens is they see the cane toad and go, ah, food.
Yum.
Big mouthful of cardiotoxin and instant death. They never get a chance to learn that it's a bad idea to eat a cane toad. So the concept that we've got is to come in and ask the question, can we use CRISPR-Cas9 tool to remove something, prevent the toad from making a lethal toxin? And the answer is, yes, we can. We've identified with colleagues in Queensland who've done a fantastic job of understanding the biosynthesis of that toxin. They've identified the final step in that process. There's an enzyme that converts the toxin that's actually in the neck glands of the toad is a protoxin. It's unpleasant, but it's not lethal. But as it squirts the toxin out, there's an enzyme that clips something off that toxin and turns it into a lethal toxin. That enzyme is encoded by a gene. That gene then is accessible to us to use CRISPR-Cas9 to knock it out. The outcome of that would be a toad that can't make the lethal toxin. And that's a toad that we can use to train predators that when they eat a toad, it's a really bad idea. And when they encounter one out in the wild, not to eat it.
Have you used CRISPR-Cas9 to create that toad?
We're in the process of doing that right now. It's a bit of a journey. It won't be simple and straightforward. We've got to get eggs from the toads. We've got to be able to inject the CRISPR-Cas9 into those developing eggs and then to look at the toads that emerge and see if we've managed to snip that gene out as we hoped we would. And we hope that we'll be able to provide that within a couple of years.
And lots of close encounters with cane toads at the Animal Health Laboratory in Geelong, by the sounds.
Absolutely, yes. We've got a little colony of toads there growing now for us to be able to undertake this research.
What are they like?
Well, actually, when they're small, they're quite cute. But as they get bigger, they lose that cuteness. They get lumpy and ugly. And out in the wild, they grow to considerable size. They can get up to several kilos. And what they do is they basically eat everything. So all the poor amphibians, the normal toads and the normal frogs and lizards that eat insects and various bits and pieces, find no food left because the cane toads have hoovered it all up. And in fact, when the cane toads get big enough, they'll hoover up the little lizards and the little frogs and toads as well. They're not a good thing out there in the environment.
The much maligned cane toad, is it celebrated anywhere in the world? Does it have a natural habitat where it's a good thing?
Indeed it does. So it comes originally from South America, and there it's found balance and harmony with the environment around it. So there are predators there, but they all know from birth not to go near the cane toad. There's another interesting angle on this, and that is the impacts that it's having on Aboriginal culture, because in many places, the young people of the culture are taken out into the wild and they're shown these fabulous predators, which are the biggest and most obvious animals in the predators. And a lot of the stories range around the predators and how they are masters of their land and so on. Unfortunately, now as they take the young people out into the land, they can't find these predators because their numbers have dropped so dramatically with the impacts of the cane toad. So there's interesting oblique impacts. We know the impacts in terms of biology, but here's an impact in terms of maintaining culture within Australia, a really important culture.
Far-reaching effects of the alien invasion. Mark Tizard at the CSIRO Animal Health Laboratory in Geelong, Victoria, with Natasha Mitchell, who started another series of Science Friction today on RN and on your pod, first with GM on the farm.